Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN. I'm David Dye. People have been telling us about the country's songwriter Jamie Johnson, about a real and honest the writing on his latest album, That Lonesome Song, was. So we've invited him on. Jamie was also part of a group of writers who wrote a huge hit for Trace Atkins called Honky Tonk Badonkadonk. We've got to get the story behind that. Jamie had an album before this called The Dollar out in 2006, which did okay. And then things in his life fell apart, which gave him lots of things to write about in preparation for this album.
Yeah, there were things that I had written about what it's like going through a divorce. And I'd also been dropped from my first label. And, it was just kind of dealing with a lot of stuff. And in that period, I made a conscious decision that I was going to quit drinking, and I did that just for me, just so, you know, later on I wouldn't have to second guess my decision making, you know, as far as going through the divorce and that sort of thing, other kind of decisions I was facing at the time. So it was kind of a hard era just all the way around. I mean, anybody can tell you when you quit drinking, you really go through some different changes in your life. And this album is just kind of like notes that I'd made throughout that process.
Well, you look at the album and the subject matter, and I guess what Willie said about sad songs and waltzes not selling, and no wonder you didn't really think that a record company was going to jump at this. But you got in a good place with, I guess, Luke Lewis, the guy we know from the head of Mercury. I guess he liked these.
Yeah, well, if you finish that Willie Nelson song properly, it's sad songs and waltzes aren't selling this year. And luckily for us, they are selling this year.
That's true. Well, tell you what, why don't you do one of the tunes to begin with?
Sure. I was just a normal guy. Life was just a 9-to-5 with bills and pressure piled up to the sky. She never asked, she knew I'd been hanging with my wilder friends, looking for some other way to fly. And 3 days straight was no big feat to get by on no food or sleep, and crazy was becoming my new norm. I'd pass out on the bedroom floor, sleep right through the calm before the storm. My life was just an old routine, every day the same damn thing. I couldn't even tell I was alive. I tell you, the high cost of living ain't nothing like the cost of living high. That Southern Baptist parking lot was where I'd go to smoke my pot and sit there in my pickup truck and pray. Staring at that giant cross just reminded me that I was lost. It just never seemed to point the way. As soon as Jesus turned his back, I'd find my way across the tracks, looking just to score another deal. With my back against that damn eight ball, I didn't have to think or talk or feel. My life was just an old routine, every day the same damn thing. I couldn't even tell I was alive. I tell you, the high cost of living ain't nothing like the cost of living high. Well, my whole life went through my head, laying in that motel bed, watching as the cops kicked in the door.
I had a job and a piece of land. My sweet wife was my best friend, but I traded that for cocaine and a whore. My newfound sobriety, I've got the time to sit and think of all the things I had but threw away. This prison is much colder than that one that I was locked up in just yesterday. My life is just an old routine, every day the same damn thing. Hell, I can't even tell if I'm alive. I tell you, the high cost of living ain't nothing like the cost of living high.
Jamie Johnson is our guest today on the World Cafe, and that is A High Cost of Living from that lonesome song. And Jamie, that sounds just like the Steel on the record. Who's playing there? You got to give these folks names.
Well, the Steel guitar player is Cowboy Eddie Long, and he's not the best in the world. He's the only guy in the world that can do what he does.
Sounds good to me.
And over here on the acoustic guitar is Wade Battle. He played on the album too, lead guitar. And I'd say the same thing about Wade. He takes a regular a guitar, turns it over, and that's how he learned how to play. And so every now and then he might throw it behind his head and take a lick. And he does that in the studio too. So. But it's a really energetic bunch of people to work with.
Sounds great. As you mentioned, there's a lot of living went into these songs. Is there a core of something that you had to experience in everyone? For instance, that one, you know, that's a pretty pretty dire tale there.
It's pretty much the way I got started with my career. When everything hit, it all hit at one time. And, you know, anybody that's come to Nashville or anywhere else and started in the music business, you know, man, your first gig is going to be in a bar. And so that's the way we all got started around here. You went to the bars first to kind of hang out and get to know people, and later on you end up putting together, you know, little acoustic shows or writers shows or whatever else. But that's how you really get to know other players and writers and that sort of thing. Well, pretty soon I devoted the better part of my life to it, because I had a construction company that I was trying to run during the day. But at night, I'd be in a bar networking or playing or whatever I was doing. I usually ended up passed out in my living room floor at about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, waiting on 6 o'clock to come around to wake me up.
That's all in there. The first single on the album was a song called In Color. Was there a eureka moment in writing that song?
I would say it just kind of happened. You know, I was in conversation with a guy named Lee Thomas Miller, and we were talking about old black and white pictures that Bill Anderson has of the early days of his career, and how, you know, back then they just, you know, color pictures were a rarity. Everything was done in black and white. And we were talking about, you know, what it's like to hear Bill telling those stories behind that those pictures. And I told him, I said, man, you should have seen it in color, huh? And we kind of jotted down that little quote right there. And later on, we ended up in a writing studio, his office. And James Otto, who's been a good friend of ours for years, he called in and said his co-writer that day had canceled on him, and he was looking for something to do. And I said, well, he'll come write this one with us. And so we centered that idea and that thought around our own families and, you know, our own grandparents. And, you know, if my grandfather were still alive, that's the exact kind of thing he would say. He always had a knack for saying the most prolific things, but he'd put them in the simplest terms, you know.
I definitely like that. Do you keep a notebook? Is that the kind of thing you do for phrases and ideas like that come up?
I can barely keep a cell phone, let alone a notebook. I can't keep up with that. I do good to keep up with my car keys.
Can you do that tune in color? Can you do that one from the album?
Yeah, sure. I said, Grandpa, what's this picture here? It's all black and white, and it ain't real clear. Is that you there? He said, yeah, I was loving. And times were tough back in 35, as me and Uncle Joe just trying to survive a cotton farm in a Great Depression. If it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color. Oh, and this one here was taken overseas in the middle of hell in 1943, in the wintertime. You can almost see my breath. That was my tail gunner, old Johnny McGee. He was a high school teacher from New Orleans, and he had my back right through the day we left. If it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color. A picture's worth a thousand words, but you can't see what those shades of gray keep cover. You should have seen it in color. Said, this one is my favorite one. This is me and Grandma in the summer sun, all dressed up the day we said our vows. You can't tell it here, but it was hot that June, and that rose was red and her eyes were blue. And just look at that smile, I was so proud.
That's the story of my life. Right there in black and white. And if it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color. A picture's worth a thousand words, but you can't see what those shades of gray keep cover. You should have seen it in color. Picture's worth a thousand words, but you can't see what those shades of gray keep cover. You should have seen it in color.
Really nice version of In Color from Jamie Johnson, who's playing live for us today. Thanks a lot. You know, reading through, if you don't know that you're from Montgomery, Alabama, you read through the, you listen to this album once and you definitely figure it out. There's a great song about your mom, about Alabama, and of course the lyrics come in on it's a song called Between Jennings and Jones. What was it like growing up in Montgomery? Is everybody really aware of Hank there? I mean, is that Hank Williams? Of course, that's his birthplace.
I don't know if everybody is, but we damn sure were.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I mean, if you live off in the country and you like country music, man, you're very proud of the fact that Hank Williams is from Montgomery, or at least that he lived there, you know, at one point. He's actually born in several miles south, but he definitely got his musical start there, and I think Montgomery embraces him, and it's almost to the point that if you're going to be in a country band and go and play around Montgomery, buddy, you've got a lot of proving to do. You know, you can't just be good, man. You gotta really step it up, and it was a great atmosphere for me to start off in. Because of that, just because it was like they wouldn't settle for a good song. You'd better knock them off their bar stool.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to do that to even get them to look at you. So ever since then, man, Montgomery's been one of my favorite places to go back and play to, because now they come out in numbers and show support, and it's almost like getting the stamp of approval from your hometown, man. That's one of the most that's one of the greatest honors you can have.
I read that in high school you used to hang out at his grave. A lot of people do that.
Yeah, we did it a lot. It was pretty much like a Saturday night thing to do. You'd run up and down Atlanta Highway in your car, and if somebody could, you know, sneak a six pack of beer somewhere or a bottle of whiskey or something like that, we were going straight to Hank's grave to sit down, have a drink, and pick a few songs.
Wow. Jamie Johnson is our guest today on The Cafe, and he's got an album you may have been reading about, and certainly if you listen to country radio, you heard that Lonesome Song, and what would you like to do next?
We'll do that Lonesome Song. That morning the sun made its way through the windshield of my Chevrolet. Whiskey eyes and ashtray breath on a churred rock gravel road. What the hell did I do last night? That's the story of my life. Like trying to remember words to a song nobody wrote. And it's sad and it's long, and can't nobody sing along.
It's a southbound train. It's a whistle in the wind. Ain't no one there to care where I've been. I'm humming on that lonesome song again. I took a trip across the country from Montgomery. Discovered I'd been wrong so long. I thought it was the fame and the glory and the money, but all I've got to show is a damn song. And it's sad and it's long. Can't nobody Chevrolet, whiskey eyes, an ashtray breath on a church rock gravel road.
And there it is, the title track of that Lonesome Songs. Jamie Johnson has joined us today on the cafe.
I wrote that song with Wade Battle over here on the guitar with us. And Wade and I, we met somewhere around 2003, and we met in the middle of a song. I'm not even kidding you. I came out, a buddy of mine, Jared Neiman, said, man, you got to come see this dude play. He's from Alabama just like you. And he says, man, this guy can really smoke a fender. And I think it was like Halloween, somewhere around there. I just remember it was a pumpkin carving thing at some bar that was going down. So we went out there to kind of hang out and have fun with all that. Wade was up there playing. He was right in the middle of one of my favorite songs. And Jerry said, well, shoot, get up there and grab that guitar and go play it out with him. I said, hell, I ain't fixing to do that. That man turned around and hit me with that guitar. He said he wouldn't care. Just go up there and sit down and sing that song with him. And I was like, well, you don't think so? I went up there and sat down next to him, and you know, before that song was over with, I knew I just met a new best friend. So,
I did too. It was great. I tell you, anytime you can mix pumpkin carving and beer, and songs about engines swinging from oak trees, I'm in usually.
You didn't hit him?
No, I was scared. He was singing a song about a engine hanging from an oak tree. You don't hit a man singing about songs like that.
You had a whole lot of success writing Song of the Year, and heck, you're one of the writers on Honky Tonk Badonkadonk, and a whole bunch more. Did you ever think of just going that route, or did you always want to be a performer as well?
I'd never settled on being a songwriter.
I didn't even consider myself one. You know, I was just I get up and sing my songs to people, and that was pretty much it. And when I got my first record deal and put out the dollar, you know, I never assumed that there was any turning back. You know, that was just it, and that's where we're going from now on. It wasn't even until after we got started with that people really started looking into my catalog for songs. But Badonkadonk was the first one that got cut, and that song was pretty much the only song like it in my entire catalog.
It's so hard not to stare at that honky-tonk, Badonkadonk. Keeping perfect rhythm, make you want to swing along. Got it going on like Donkey Kong. And ooh, shut my mouth, slap your grandma. There ought to be a law, get the sheriff on the phone. Lord have mercy, how she even get them bridges on that honky tonk, but don't you don't.
Me and Randy Houser and Dallas Davidson, we just had a field day with that song. It was just a joke. It was something, you know, we were laughing at something we'd seen in a bar. And I tell you what, we wrote that song in less than an hour and spent 30 minutes of that laughing.
Hey, thank you so much for playing live for us. It's really great to have you here.
Man, it's an honor for me to get to do this, and thank you all for having us and for listening.
Jamie Johnson, our guest. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia and xpn.org. If you'd like to hear more World Cafe sessions, get daily cafe alerts, or check out our highlight of the week, visit worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.